privilege to be able to worship with you today. I'm certainly thankful for the Lord's providential care to arrive here safely. And we do ask that you pray for us the time that we stand before you. As Brother Virgil said, we stand in great need of the Lord's help. Every time we stand in the Lord's name, that the Lord would deliver us and send the presence of the Holy Spirit and lift us up above ourselves for a little while. If you have your Bibles you'd like to read with us this morning, we'd like to begin. The Lord is in the matter, we trust and pray He is. We'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, a very familiar occasion here after that the Lord Jesus has been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. We find that He is going to give us or show us the example of how we are to deal with temptation and how that we are tempted by Satan. It's very, very simple temptation, but it is common to all of us. And how the Lord deals with it is the blueprint that we have in dealing with temptation. So, after that Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, we find that He is called away into the wilderness for 40 days where He fasts. And so, He's hungry and Satan comes to Him and says in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now Satan is going to attack in the basic things that we have problems with. Now you remember in 1 John, John writes to or tells us, tells the disciples in that day, he said, "Love not the world." He said that the love of the world is this: it's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So the basic weaknesses that we have in our human nature are the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yep. And so the Lord Jesus is hungry. And as He's hungry, you know, I can't imagine myself to not have food for 40 days. You think about ourselves that if we go 6 to 8 hours without food, we almost have a panic about us. Yeah. But He's gone 40 days without food. Now, as Satan comes to Him, what does He do? He attacks Him in what would be your and my base desire. We need food. And so He's going to attack Him where He sees that He's weak. Now, you and I know that the Lord Jesus is God and that He has some weakness and that, you know, He is sinless, but we see the attack, and Satan attacks you and me in the same way that he attacked the Lord. And so he attacks Him first in what He physically needs. And then he attacks Him in the pride of life. I'm sure you've all had this experience where you wanted to do something, but you knew that it wasn't the right thing to do, and you had the conversation with your friends, especially when you were kids, but even as adults, you have that conversation, and what do? They say, "I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it." Hey, y'all remember in the Christmas story, you know, when the boys were around the flagpole and they were asking, discussing the question about whether if they stuck their tongue on the flagpole, whether their tongue would stick to it. And you remember that the boy that stuck his tongue to the pole, the reason he did it is because he was triple dog dare. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an appeal to pride. Nobody, you know, in our human nature, we don't want somebody telling us that we can't do something. Yeah. That we don't want somebody telling us to prove to them that we can do something. And so Satan is attacking with pride. He tells him, "Hey, if you be who you say you are," knowing that he is, he said, "If you be the Son of God, That you can fix the problem that you've got right now by turning these rocks, these stones into bread. If you are who you say you are, prove it. And so Satan is attacking him like he attacks us, but by saying, I know your weakness, and I'm showing it, I'm handing it right to you, and I'm telling you to prove that you're the man that you say you are, prove that you're the woman that you say you are, prove that you're the child that you say you are. And then he said, I triple dog dare you to do it. And so the Lord is being attacked like you and I are attacked. And the Lord answers him and says the correct answer. And that is, it's not the physical that I need. It's the spiritual. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. The Lord is telling you and me that what is most important and what we need more than the physical things of life is that we need what God has told us to do. We need what God has told us who we are. We need what God has told us of how we are to live in this world above everything else.
Right.
And he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, the Lord didn't say that you don't need food. He didn't say that I don't need food. He said that natural food is not the most important thing. That I shouldn't let my decision making, that I shouldn't let the way I talk to somebody, that I shouldn't let the way that I treat somebody, that I shouldn't let how my physical needs affect my decision making. But what should affect my decision making is what God's Word says.
Yeah.
So now the Lord is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so, put your finger here, we're going to come back to it. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and let's see the context of what the Lord is telling Israel through Moses so that we get even more detail into what the Lord is telling you and me. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is reminding Israel of what God has done and of what God expects. And for you and me today, that's the most important thing, is that we remember what God has done for us, but that we also remember what God expects of us. Because God has showered us with so much grace that we need to remember that we've been showered with this grace, and remember that God expects us to honor Him, and God expects us to give Him the glory, and that God expects us to trust Him.
Yeah.
And so we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he begins by saying, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. So the whole purpose of God's commandments is that we might enjoy life, that we might have a peaceable life, that we might have a life that is of substance and that is fulfilling, and most of all, that we would have a life that glorifies and honors God. Because he's telling them that if you do what I say, then you're going to enjoy the benefits of the promised land. You're going to enjoy the benefits of the Lord's church if you follow the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to take up your cross and follow Him and to serve Him day to day. You're going to enjoy the benefits of the New Testament church if you follow the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says this, and that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And here's the purpose. Here's what God has shown them and shows me and you. To humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You know what the most important thing for you and me to do when we're enduring suffering, when we're dealing with difficult moments in our lives? The most important thing for you and me to do is to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
It is to understand our limits, to understand my weakness, to understand that I can't face Satan by myself, that I need the Lord's help, that I need the Lord's strength, that I need the Lord's word to help me to fight against Satan.
Yeah.
And to deal with the suffering, the difficulty that I have at this moment. And so God tells them through Moses, look, remember what I've done for these past 40 years. And the reason that I've done this is to humble you, is to show you that you are completely dependent on me. You realize today, my friends, that you and I are completely dependent on the Lord God. That you and I are completely dependent for our physical, our mental, our spiritual needs, and our spiritual blessings. That we are 100% dependent on the God of heaven for everything that we have.
Yeah.
And he reminds them. He says, look, remember that I've done this to show you that you must depend on me. Because y'all remember that the whole reason that they were in the mess of being in the wilderness for 40 years was because they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God when they sent the spies in the land of Canaan for 40 days. And they came back and 10 of them said, this land is exactly like God said. And they'd already seen God part the Red Sea and destroy the army of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself in the Red Sea with their own eyes. But yet they saw that the land was exactly like God said. But they said, we can't take it because the enemies are too big. They wanted to give up. They wanted to blame God for the fact that the enemies in the land were so large in their own eyes, and they completely turned their mind away from the fact that God had just destroyed the armies of Pharaoh, the greatest army on the face of the earth. And the result was they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of the fact that they refused to trust God. You know what happens to us when we refuse to trust God? We end up in a mess. But even God in His mercy, y'all want y'all to remember that. Even God being wroth with them, even God being the judgment of God coming upon them because of their unbelief and because of their stubbornness, He still had mercy on them. And for those 40 years that they were in the wilderness, He's now telling them that I took care of you the whole time because it was a humbling experience. Understand how humbling it was to see their family drop. You know, that as their family members are dying, the ones who were 20 years and above, as they're dying in that wilderness, and they're being reminded that the reason that they're dying out here is because of their stubbornness. And so he comes and he says, remember how you got into this mess to begin with, but also remember that I've had mercy on you and that I've provided for you the entire time. He said, and he humbled thee in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Now you remember what happened when they were in the wilderness and they were hungry.
Yeah.
And they started complaining.
Right.
And they started murmuring against God, and they said, would to God that we've been back in Egypt where we could have had all this great food and ate like we were there. But, you know, completely forgetting that they suffered unimaginably in Egypt. Completely forgetting how bad it was that all they could think about, their stomachs were driving their decision making. And so they were thinking about the food that they ate rather than how horrible the conditions were.
Yeah.
And so they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're blaming God. Has God sent us out here into this wilderness to starve to death?
Yep.
And then God gives them manna. Now notice this, as the Lord tells them through Moses, He said, it suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, They didn't know what it was made of. They didn't know what it was. And that's why they called it manna. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. And here's what the Lord Jesus quotes. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. And then he continues, he says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. So the Lord is reminding you and me that we depend on God for our provision.
Amen.
That we depend on God to provide both our physical and our spiritual needs. So the Lord's telling Satan and telling you and me that God's the one that provides our physical needs. That we don't let that drive our decision making, but what drives our decision making, whether we're 5 years old or we're 100 years old, what drives our decision making is trusting God and looking at what His Word says, looking at what He's taught us to do, that we let that drive our decision making. Now the Lord is referencing the manna, and so I want to consider the manna for a little bit. Because the manna, as Jesus is quoting about God providing the manna to show them that their substance is not dependent on what they can physically do, but that they depend on God's provision every day. So you remember there in Exodus chapter 16, and let's go and look at that real quick. So we'll come back. Sorry to be shifting around, but I want to get this to you so that you can see what the Lord is telling you and me about temptation. So in Exodus chapter 16, we find the occasion that Moses is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so in Exodus chapter 16, we see this. It said in verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. As I said earlier, they're blaming God. They're blaming God's the men of God, but they're ultimately blaming God for the fact that they're hungry. And they don't see food in front of them. So God is going to have mercy on this. And he tells in verse 4, the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And so we find as we go on further that it says, verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather it of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So I want you to see, in the manna, God gives each individual and each family exactly what they need. He gives them exactly what they need. Now, they're complaining, but God delivers, God has mercy on them, and He has mercy on them because they're His people and because He loves them. He has mercy on them and provides their physical need, and He provides exactly what they need. And the Lord Jesus is telling Satan, telling you and me, that God will provide what we need. He provides what you and I need every single day. He provides for us as young families. He provides for us as grandparents. He provides for us as great-grandparents. He provides for us as children. He provides each member of the family and each individual exactly what they need. And in providing this food, He tells them, He said, don't gather more and then try to store it overnight because it'll rot. When we trust the Lord, He provides what we need, and if we try to get more than what God has provided, if we try to add more than what God has provided, it will rot. Because when we try to add to what God has commanded, when you and I try to add to what God's Word says, when you and I try to add to what God has told us to do, it will rot. And so He tells them, and then they see the miracle of it all, that when they measure it out to make bread, when they measure it out to eat, it's exactly what they need. Whether it's a small family, whether it's an individual person, whether it's a large family, they have exactly what they need. But then, in this chapter 16, there's still some that don't listen, and they try to gather more and store it overnight, and it does exactly what God said. It rots. It has worms in it. It's no good. So the lesson that the Lord Jesus is giving to us when He's answering Satan is that God will provide what I need to get through today, and that He doesn't provide more than what I need. He provides what I need, and if I try to do more than what God has commanded, it's going to end up in a mess. But then He also tells them that God provides what we need for us to be able to worship. Because He provided a double portion on the sixth day so that they could have the day of rest, the day of worship, so that they would not work on the Sabbath. God provided. You know, God doesn't command you and me to do something that He doesn't provide the way for us to do it. Now, He doesn't do it for us. You know, He doesn't grab you and me by the hair of the head and make us do what He's commanded. But what He does is He commands you to do it, and then He gives you the ability, and He provides the way for you to do it. And He's told you to do it, and He's given you the provision, so there's no excuse for you and me not to do what God's commanded.
Amen.
And so He provides the double provision so that they can worship. And God keeps His promise, and He doesn't do it just one time. He does it day after day, week after week, for the entirety of the 40 years. And we find that when the 40 years was up, when they went into Canaan, the manna stopped and the quail stopped. God's provision was no longer needed that was in the wilderness because now they were in the land of Canaan. But I want you to also notice about the manna. So Moses describes it that it's round and it's white. So you can think about the bread that God provides. In the white color, it's symbolic of the purity of God, the holiness of God. Because this bread that God is providing in the wilderness is a picture or a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the white color of it is symbolic of the purity of God, the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the round shape is symbolic of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has no beginning or no ending. He's eternal. And you know, in a circle, like when we have the wedding ceremony, and we mention the circle of the ring, meaning that there is no beginning and no end of the completeness of it, that's symbolic of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is complete, that He's complete holiness, that He's completely God, and that He's eternal, that He has no ending and He has no beginning.
Amen.
And then we find here in Exodus 16 that they describe the taste of it.
Yeah.
And they describe it that it looks like coriander seed and that it tastes like wafers made from honey. Now, y'all remember in the Psalms that David describes God's Word as sweeter than honeycomb.
Yeah.
So the manna is tastes like honey. It is a picture of God's Word, that the sweetness of it and the quality of it and how wonderful it is taste to the individual as a symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His holiness, of His eternal nature, and of the fact that He is our provision, that He is sweetness to us, that His Word and His promise and who He is the greatest and the sweetest thing that we could ever experience. And God provided that to Israel. And by providing it to them, He's telling them that you don't need to focus on your stomach, but you need to focus on what I tell you to do. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you and me, and telling Satan in this temptation here in chapter 4, when He reminds him that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, the Lord does two things here. Number one, He tells Satan that I don't need the food because I'm going on what my Father says. I'm going on what God says. The food's not what's important to me. It's honoring God and doing what God has commanded. And the second thing is He's telling Satan, I don't have to prove anything to you because my purpose is not to come and prove anything to you, but my purpose is to do what my Father sent me to do. Oh, my friends, today, if we could have that mind, as Paul said, to have the mind of Christ, which is to do what our Father has called us to do and told us to do, and to follow that and let that drive our decision making, and tell Satan that it doesn't matter, that the physical and the material doesn't matter, that what matters is doing what God has commanded us to do.
Yeah.
Now I want you to think about also the bread that God provided and that God provides is daily. So the manna was just for the day, just for that day.
Yeah.
You know, God didn't leave them with leftovers. I mean, He told them, there's no need for leftovers because I'm going to provide fresh for you in the morning.
Yeah.
And so He gave them their daily bread every single day. And the Lord Jesus is going to tell us in John chapter 6, so let's turn over to John chapter 6 now, about the bread and comparing Himself to the bread, the manna, in the wilderness. So in John chapter 6, right after that, the Lord has performed the miracle of feeding the thousands, the 5,000 with loaves and fishes, the Lord gives you and me the mindset that we're to have in verse 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So there were quite a few that were there that were motivated by their stomach. All right, there are quite a few that were there that their decision making for following and following after him and going, they want to go see what he does next because they just had their stomachs filled.
Yeah.
But then he tells you and me, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So what you and I are to work in, now, the Lord's not telling you and me that we're not to work, that we're not to put food on the table, that we're not to earn a living. He's not telling us that we are, you know, to be hermits and to starve our families. But what he's telling us is that shouldn't be the most important thing. That the most important thing that we are to work in and work at is God's Word. Because that is exactly the meat that endureth to everlasting life, because God's Word declares and states and clearly shows you and me, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one that is our eternal life. He said, okay, so now the ones that just had their bellies full, the disciples asked this question. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So you know what? You know how you're going to consume your daily bread? You're going to eat your daily bread by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. By believing who he is and that he has given you everything that you need to be able to function in this world. That he's given you everything you need to have an honorable and peaceable life. He's given you everything that you need to be an honorable disciple in this world. And by believing that he is who he is and that he's given you everything that you need and trusting that and following that, you are consuming your daily bread. Now there's others, verse 30, they want to see a sign.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking now about the manna, all right? And they said in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may eat and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they want to see proof. They want to see a sign, because they think that the manna was a sign of God's power. And it is, but a sign of God's deliverance. But we don't need to see a sign. We don't need to see a miracle to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that he's our King, and that he is the source of our blessing, and that we should do what he says. We don't need to see a sign.
That's right.
And so now the Lord's going to tell them the same. Verse 32. Very verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So the first thing Jesus is telling them is, Moses wasn't the one that gave manna. Moses is not the one that provided for you. It was my Father. It's God that provided. And then he tells them, he says, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God, here is your daily bread. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that world is God's family, God's elect. Giveth life unto the world. So your bread, your daily provision, your daily substance is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he answers it, because they want the bread now. And he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All right, so this coming, And this believing is evidence, is when the person already has eternal life. There is a sense when you're given eternal life that you never hunger or thirst for that again. When you're born of the Spirit of God and given eternal life, the work that God does, you never need that to happen again. You never hunger, you never thirst. You never need for God to give you eternal life again. It's a one-time thing. And Jesus is telling men that when God does this work on you, it never needs to be done again. Because God has put His Spirit in them. Now, he's going to continue with this, and he says in verse 37, he describes the coming. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And that coming is coming from a state of being dead in sin to being alive in Jesus Christ. That's the work of being born again. That's the work of regeneration. When God calls you from being dead and gives you eternal life and calls you to live, and you have eternal life, and you are completely passive in that. You don't ask for it. You don't have to do anything to receive it. God speaks it and it's done.
That's right.
And notice that Jesus said, "He that cometh to me," because the Lord draws you to Him when He gives you eternal life, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." So you're never going to hunger for that again. As he's telling them, when you come to me, when I draw you to me, when I call you from being dead in sin to being alive, to having eternal life, you're never ever going to need that to happen again. And so he's telling us about the greatness of the work of you being given eternal life. But now we're going to talk about the daily bread some more. So let's come down further. And he says in verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." So believing the gospel, believing the preaching of the gospel, believing who Jesus Christ is, it's not a requirement for you to gain eternal life. Because he clearly tells you and me that "hath" means that you're already in possession of eternal life when you believe.
Yeah.
So when you believe, you already have eternal life. So it is believing who Jesus is, believing what he did, believing what he's commanded you to do, and doing it is fruit of the life that is within you already. And notice this, he said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." So the bread, the physical bread, the manna that God provided for them, it didn't give them eternal life because they died. That bread did not sustain their life forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He keeps your life the everlasting to where it has no end, because He does not rot. He does not corrupt. He does not change. So my friends, the life that you have in Jesus Christ, of Him being the bread of life, that life will never end. He said, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." That's Him. All right, so now I want to get the thought, as he's described the difference between the physical bread, the manna, and Him as our bread, the bread of our life, the substance of our life. Now I want to see what he tells us in Matthew chapter 6 in our prayer. So in Matthew chapter 6, you all remember this part of the prayer. So he gives us the mindset of prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And beginning with the 9th verse. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, the mindset of prayer is that we recognize that we depend completely on God. That's the whole thought that the Lord Jesus Christ is hammering both in this temptation and in the lesson of the Sermon on the Mount, is that you and I, we wholly, completely depend on God for everything.
Yeah. And yeah. We
recognize that in prayer. When we humble ourselves, the first thing that we admit and acknowledge is that God, He's our everything. He's our King. He is the source of our life and our blessing. And He said, "Thy will be done in earth." You know what he's getting at there? He's saying that, "Lord, Thy will be done in me." Because you and I are earth. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. So you and I are earth. And we want God's will to be done in us as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
God's will is always completed, always done in heaven. And I want it to be completed and done down here.
Yeah.
And he said, but then he continues and he says, "Give us this day
our
daily bread."
Amen.
So you know, the mindset of prayer is not to murmur and complain and complain about the fact that I'm hungry. Because you remember Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're hungry to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're hungry to learn more about what God's commanded you to do, then that's a blessed condition, not one to murmur about. And so, I want to ask the Lord to give me my daily bread.
Yeah.
To give me my daily provision, that I can see it. Because, you know, I'm admitting when I say that my provision comes from Him. That Lord, give me what I need today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about yesterday. But give me what I need today. And you know, it's not demanding of God, but it's begging God. Please give me what I need today. I know you do, and I know you can, but I beg you to give me what I need. For Jesus' sake.
Yes.
So what is your daily bread? You know, your daily bread and my daily bread is going to be different based upon where you are in your life. You know, when I was five, when I was a preteen, when I was a teenager, when I was a young married adult, when we had children, the things that I needed on a daily basis were different. My daily bread. Now there's things that are in common with my daily bread. You know, the things that are in common with your daily bread and my daily bread is I need to be reminded every day that I belong to God. I want to be reminded. I want to be reminded of His promises. I want to be reminded of His love for me. I want to be reminded of how good He's been to me. Because I know that I belong to Him. I know that He's been good to me. But I love to hear it again. I love to hear it over and over again of how much the Lord has loved me and how much the Lord has saved me and how much the Lord is you know, the day is coming when He's coming back for my body. I want to hear that every single day because that is the sweetness of my daily bread.
Amen.
The resurrection, your eternal life, that is the sweetness of your daily bread. But I also want to hear about what I need to do today. So in the last few minutes we have this morning, I want to consider that. Because this ties in with what Jesus showed us in dealing with this temptation. I want to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Right.
And so my daily bread is going to be God's word. And so now let's get the most basic and the most time-consuming part of your daily bread. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 22. At the end of the chapter, we have a very familiar occasion where the Lord answers another question. And so here in Matthew chapter 22, one of the ones, it says verse 34, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together." So this is going to be a Pharisee that's going to ask this question. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying," this isn't a sincere question. He's trying to trip him up. He has an ulterior motive here.
Yeah.
But the Lord gives you and me the answer that we need. All right? So the way the Lord answers this gives you and me what I need every day. Whether I'm a child, whether I'm a little boy, a little girl, whether I'm a teenager, whether I'm, you know, a 20-something, 30-something, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, every age needs to practice this answer. So the man asked the Lord a question, verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law? What is the most important thing that we should focus on? What is it? What is the most important thing that I should do every day?" And Jesus answers him and says, verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So the most important thing for you and me to do every single day is to love God with every fiber of our being.
Yep.
It's to love God mentally, tell God we love Him in prayer, in meditation, and to love Him by how we carry ourselves.
Right.
By the way we speak. You know, whether it's talking to your brother, your sister, you know, your husband, your wife, whether it's talking to your coworker, whoever it is, the way that I speak to them is a direct reflection on my loving God. You know, that's hard. When you think about however I treat somebody else, and that's what Jesus is about to say, however I treat somebody else is exactly how I'm treating God. So the main thing I focus on, my daily bread, your daily bread, my daily bread, is to love God with every fiber of my being, with my mouth, with my mind, and with my feet.
Yeah.
And then he said, and the second is likened to it. So Jesus just told you and me, you can't separate them. They're tied together.
Right.
The second one is tied to the first. Why? Because when you apply the second one, when you're doing the second one, you're doing the first one at the same time. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So my daily bread is that I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Who's your neighbor? You remember the disciples asked the Lord that question. Who's my neighbor? It's everybody.
Right.
It's everybody. I mean, it's every individual, whether it's my children, whether it's my wife, whether it's my husband, whether it's my brother, whether it's my sister, whether it's my physical neighbor, whether it's my coworkers, whether it's people that I'm in traffic with, I am commanded to love them as myself. Now, you think about how you love yourself. When you think about how you love yourself, you don't want somebody speaking nasty to you. You don't want somebody talking about you behind your back. You don't want somebody lying about you. You don't want somebody doing something just to hurt your feelings. You don't want somebody cutting you off in traffic. You don't want somebody thinking terrible of you because you make a mistake in traffic. You don't want you don't want your coworkers to think that you're some horrible person for no reason. So the Lord says, think about how you want to be treated. And you treat anybody and everybody that you see that way. And when you do it, you're loving God. But when I don't do it, then I'm mistreating God. You know, if I'd have kept that in front of my eyes every day when I was growing up, I'd have had a lot less dust-ups with my brothers. And so, you're in my daily bread is to put these two into practice. It's every part of us. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we live. And what the prayer is, Lord, give me my daily bread. Don't let my decision making, what I'm going to think, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, don't let that be motivated by anything other than what you say. Now, putting this into practice is a full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, my grandfather, as Brother Virgil mentioned in the introduction, that my grandfather, Elder Guy Hunt, he always, I heard him tell this an untold number of times. People knowing that he was a minister, and they, especially when he was governor, they would ask him, I'm sure it was in a joking way, but they'd ask him, "Have you got everybody in Holly Pond straightened out?" And his answer was always the same. "I tell you, when I have myself straightened out, then I'll start on everybody else." Mm-hmm. Because it's a full-time job keeping me straight. It's a full-time job keeping my mouth under control, keeping my mind under control, keeping my feet under control. Because, all it takes is a second for you to say something that you regret for the rest of your life. All it takes is a second for you to do something that you'll regret for the rest of your life. I mean, Satan posed that question to the Lord Jesus. "If thou be the Son of God, make these stones, turn these stones into bread." Now, if that's you or me, and we're there by ourselves, and Satan comes to you and you're in a weak moment, and he prods you and threatens your pride and tells you to do something to prove to him, how are you going to think? Are you going to say or do something that you regret? Are you going to remember how the Lord Jesus handled it? And tell him, "God's word doesn't say that I can do this or I can say this, and I'm going to follow God's word." Lord, help us to put this into practice. Lord, help us to beg God for our daily bread. And to remember that God is our provider. He's our provision. And He's given us the bread. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our bread. He is our bread. And we have Him every day that we live. And let us enjoy the benefits by feasting on who He is and what He's commanded us to do. I thank y'all for your kind attention.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.